We've been looking at a book by J.C. Ryle entitled Holiness, and we are continuing with that. And today is the subject of Moses as an example of holiness. Moses as an example of holiness. And our scripture is taken, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's wrong. So Moses is a man who provides an example for us what it is to live by faith. And all those wanting to learn to live by faith can look to Moses as an example and learn so very, very much. He left the pattern of what faith can do in promoting holiness and character. The text is taken from the Apostle's letter to the Hebrews, a letter specifically written to encourage believers facing persecution. The chapter 11 especially, refreshes and encourages heavy and downcast hearts. And these words in chapter 11 are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The text in Hebrews chapter 11 is about men of faith, different men of faith, but we're going to look at Moses, because Moses provides an example that we can relate to. He provides a pattern that is close to some things that we face. Let's have a look at it. Moses made a choice, not just an ordinary choice, a deliberate choice. It was not an impulse. He thought about it deeply and he chose the path. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He had the prospect to become a prince of Egypt, but rather by faith he chose the adoption of the King of Kings. I think he knew that all that Egypt could offer him was only for a season, pleasures for a season. But what God was to offer was pleasures forevermore. In the same way, the world offers us all things that glitter and sparkle and look attractive and looked good. But when we get the world's treasures, we find out that they are false and they are deceptive. J.C. Ryle says they are like empty bubbles. Bubbles froth from soap. They sparkle in the sun, but inside there is nothing. They are empty. Empty bubbles which can never satisfy. Even the world's very best treasures have no ability to satisfy the longings of the soul. Even if we should get much of the world's treasures, eventually death will separate us from all the treasures. We cannot take the treasures with us. We cannot keep even the smallest little treasure. Moses made a decision. He made a choice. And you and I, if we want to be Christians of great faith, if we want to be Christians of consistent faith, we have to make a choice. And this choice is, I'm going to reject worldliness and I'm going to turn to the Lord with all of my heart. First, let's have a look at what Moses gave up, what Moses refused. He gave up three things. Why did he give them up? For the sake of his soul. He felt strongly that he must do what was right. And he made three very, very costly sacrifices. Some of the writers of old say probably the most costly sacrifice that any man has ever made. So what did he give up? He gave up position, rank, and greatness. He gave up his rank. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter had rescued the child from the bulrushes. She had adopted him. She had educated him. And now it was very, very possible that Moses could have become the next king of Egypt if he had not turned his back on Egypt. But Moses turned his back on Egypt and he chose his God. Look how great this temptation was. This was the greatest rank, honor, and power that the world at that time could possibly offer. And it wasn't just something that he hoped for. It was well within his grasp. He could have had it if he wanted it. And these things are things that most men long for. Men struggle to get recognized. There is a race in the world to obtain fame and become somebody important. So I want to be somebody that I'm looked up to. I want people to say, he's a big man. And these things, people sacrifice. They sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their health. They sacrifice everything to try to get these things. But Moses, he turned his back on all these things, even when it was within his grasp to get. And more than that, number two, he refused pleasure. The pleasures of Egypt. He refused the pleasures of sin. Just think of somebody in Moses' position. All the pleasures of Egypt were at his feet. Pleasures of every kind. Sensual pleasures, social pleasures, whatever he fancied, it was available to him. He could have had it all. Egypt was a land of artists. It was a place and a residence for well-learned men. It was the center of everybody who had skill and talent. Science was of every type and description, was ready for the enjoyment. There was everything needed to feed the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. All of that was before Moses. Moses had the cup at his lips. He could have drunk as deeply as he wished. He could have had as much as he wished. But he turned his back upon all these earthly pleasures. Number three, he refused riches. Hebrews 11:26, I'll read it to you. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He esteemed the reproach, even the reproach of Christ, as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The modern translations bring out very clearly that Moses was looking forward to the reward. He considers the reproach for believing, the criticism for believing, not to be compared with the riches that the coming Messiah would provide. It was faith that made him choose what he chose. Faith made him choose and faith made him turn his back upon nothing but faith. He looked ahead. He looked forward. But this Greek word had respect unto. We mustn't neglect this. It has the meaning on the negative side. It means rather he looked away from the riches of Egypt. So we must look away and look forward too. Look away and look forward too. Moses looked away from all the riches of Egypt, and he made a decided decision. It wasn't just the flash in his mind, oh, I feel I should do this. He made a calculated decision to look away from the riches of Egypt. You say, what is the application for us today? The application would be all of us have, we have needs, we plan things, and it's quite normal part of life to make plans, like what career will I follow, or where should I live, what job can I get so that I've got a good income for my family. These are legitimate and right things, but then the thought comes. Satan always pushes it. The thought comes, I need more. I want more. I would look so good if I could achieve this or if I could achieve that. People would think more of me. I would be a big man. I would command respect. And before long, you become absorbed in self-indulgence, seeking to be recognized. And the world seeks after these things. The world seeks after titles, acclamations. But the Christian seeks first the kingdom of God. The Christian's delight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord is our delight, He shall give us the desires of our heart. We put the Lord first. We don't run after things. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I want to be a blessing to others. I have got Christian priorities. I'm not going to get trapped in self-indulgence. I want to live for Christ. I want to please Christ. I want to put Christ first. I understand that true riches are above and not beneath. And the truth is this, if I seek Christ first, He is faithful. If I seek Christ and Him above, He is faithful to meet all my needs beneath, if I put Christ first. The riches that Moses rejected, these riches were exceedingly great. They weren't just a little. It wasn't just a million shillings. It was exceeding great riches. That means also the temptation was great. It must have been a temptation. Consider the power that money has over people. Consider the love of money. You know, when people love money, it drives them. The love of money that pierces through with many sorrows. Just look what people will go through to get money. They will stay up late. They will work hard. They will do anything to get money. If they were to hear of a land far away where they could get wealth, they would travel there in hope to find the wealth. Even if it was a long distance away, they would go looking in hope. They would be driven because of the love and hope of getting money. Even if somebody were to say to them, I can show you a way. You can make 1% more on the money you have. They would say, yes, you're a very wise man. Show me that way. I want to know how I can make 1% more. But yeah, we read of a man who could have been rich, not just rich, very, very rich, and he turned his back on the treasures of Egypt and he refused them. Moses gave up the riches. He refused and he made a decision to give up rank and pleasures of the world. It was not a hasty decision. It was not in the excitement of a moment. Moses was no fool. He was in the prime of his life. He was 40 years old. He was highly educated. He was a learned man of all the wisdom of Egypt. He was well able to weigh and understand both sides of the question that he was facing. He could see it. He was not a dying man about to leave the world, knowing that he couldn't keep his treasure. No, Moses, seeing clearly what was before him, refused to take it. Rank, pleasure, and riches. J.C. Ryle says, many others have done well in the way of self-sacrifice and self-denial, but the example of Moses excels and is greater than all of them. While I'm on this, some people, they protest and they say, well, brother, we are not called to follow Moses. You know, that's Old Testament. Why are you laboring this point? I'm laboring this point simply because all scripture is profitable. Scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They were written for our admonition. What does that mean? They were recorded for our benefit. These things that happened in the Old Testament were recorded for our benefit, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All scripture is profitable. These things were recorded for our benefit, and they were recorded as ensamples. What is an ensample? It is a pattern or a template. When you are making something, if you're a fundi and you get a pattern, you copy the pattern exactly and you make it. Well, this scripture is saying the Old Testament provides patterns that you can follow and that you can do and that you can make part of your life. And then on top of that, when we look at our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrificed much more than Moses. Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came down to earth. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ said, follow me. We follow his example of self-denial and self-sacrifice. But also, we should realize that all that is written in the Old Testament is for our benefit and for our instruction. It is a pattern, a template that we should follow. Now let's move on. We've seen what Moses rejected. Let's look what he chose. Let's see what he chose. His choice was even greater than his refusals. He chose three things for his soul's sake. And these three things that Moses chose are things that man usually never chooses. What did he choose? He chose suffering and affliction. Number two, he left the comfort of Pharaoh's court. And number three, he boldly sided with the children of Israel. And anyone who befriended the despised and the hated Israelites would taste something of the bitter cup that they were daily drinking. It seemed impossible that these Israelites would ever have deliverance, that they would ever possess a country of their own. Look at his choice. All people, normal people of flesh and blood, they avoid pain. They shrink from pain. They draw back from suffering. And if there are two paths in front of them, and both paths are right, we will take the path that has the least suffering. Even the very thought of pain, even the thought of suffering, makes people very anxious and very worried. And we try everything to avoid it. And if we are forced to endure suffering, we normally complain and we murmur. But here is a man of like passions, a man like us, who chooses suffering. He saw the cup and he chose it, and he preferred it to Pharaoh's court. Then on top of that, he chose the company of a despised and a hated people. He left his circles where he was so well, highly esteemed, where he was mighty and very rich, and he joined himself to poor slaves, the tormented laborers who were making bricks. He joined himself to them. Many people, they think it's enough to carry their own troubles, but Moses took the troubles of the despised people of Israel. The nobles of the land laughed at him. They called him a fool. They said he's lost his mind. He's gone mad. But he hadn't gone mad. He had made a deliberate choice. Moses was no fool, as we have seen. He was mighty in words and deed. Nobody forced Moses to make this decision. They were things that he sought of his own free will. Let's examine and ask the question, why did he make that choice? What made him make such a choice? What was the reason for such behavior? Behavior to refuse what most men call good, and to choose what most men think is evil. One thing we know is that flesh and blood don't normally choose like Moses chose. What's the explanation? We see the answer in Hebrews 11, verse 26. And just one little word, by faith, Moses. It all lies in this one little word. And that word is faith. Faith made him refuse what he refused. Faith made him choose what he chose. He did it because he believed. He believed. His understanding had been opened by God. God had revealed to Moses that a Savior would be born. And Moses believed the promise. God had spoken to him and he believed. He believed God's word. He knew that God was a covenant-keeping God and that God would surely perform that which he said he would perform. If he had stayed in his natural mind, in his natural reasoning, he would have said to himself, deliverance is out of the question for Israel. There are too many obstacles. But faith told Moses, God is able. God is more than enough, and it shall surely be done. He believed God was all wise. He believed. He didn't go to his natural common sense that would tell him that, well, I'm throwing away my position, my influence, my riches, my authority. How will I help the people without this? Faith said to him, if God said it, He knows best. I will trust him. I will do what God has said. I will go the way of God. His way is the best way. And I know that my God is a merciful God. He must have reasoned in his mind, and he must have said, surely there must be an easier way. There must be a way where these hardships can be avoided. But faith told Moses God is love, and that he would not give his people one drop of bitterness beyond what was needed. He trusted God. And what else? Faith is a telescope. And Moses saw the promise afar off. He saw the land afar off, a land of rest and peace and victory, when all the natural eye could see was a barren wilderness, a dry wilderness full of tribulation and trouble. Faith was the interpreter to Moses. It helped him pick what the natural mind could not understand. Faith enabled him to read God's handwriting and make the right choice. It was faith that opened his eyes. Faith told Moses that his rank and his greatness upon the earth was just nothing, just empty, so poor, so vain, so fleeting, so passing away. He understood that the highest honor was to serve the living God. He understood it. Faith also understands it is better to be the least in the kingdom of heaven than the first in hell. He knew that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than in the palaces, the sinful palaces of Israel, of Egypt. Faith told Moses that worldly pleasures were pleasures of sin, pleasures that would give birth to more and more sin. Such pleasure would be displeasing to God. He thought the pleasure would be a small comfort and of no help if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was against him. He said, better to suffer and obey, better to avoid the ease of sin. Faith told Moses, after all, these pleasures were only for a season. They could not last. It would be over in just a few years. Faith told him that his reward was in heaven. The one in whom he believed was far richer and had a greater reward than all the treasure of Egypt. Moses looked away from the gold of Egypt that was trying to dazzle his eyes, and he looked to the unseen heaven where true riches are, where eternal riches are. Let me give you a difficult one. Faith told Moses that affliction and suffering were not real evils. What do you mean? Well, Moses means that they were the school of God in which he trains his children, in which he purifies our corrupt wills, the furnace that will burn away the dross, the knife that will cut the cords that bind us to the world. Faith told Moses that the despised Israelites that were hated by the Egyptians were the chosen people of God. He believed that to them belonged adoption and covenant and the promises of glory, that one day the seed of the woman would be born, the woman who would bruise the serpent's head, and that the Messiah and the Redeemer would be born. Having faith in this promise is what caused Moses to continue and choose what he chose and reject what he rejected. Moses saw by faith that these things he believed, he was fully persuaded of them. He embraced them and he held them tightly. Faith opened his eyes to see. Was he not right to make such a choice? Does this not speak to us? Though Moses is dead to this very day, he still speaks to us. The name of Pharaoh's daughter has perished. The city where Pharaoh reigned is not known today. The treasures of Egypt, as mighty as they were, are mostly gone now. But the name of Moses is known wherever the Bible is read. Ask even a young child. They have heard of Moses. It still stands as a witness that whoever wants to live by faith and follows as Moses followed, happy is he. What lessons can we learn? For one thing, if we want to be saved and we want to please God, we must choose like Moses chose. We must choose God before the world. If you want to be saved, you must choose who you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to choose whom you will serve. You cannot be a friend of Christ and a friend of the world at the same time. You must come out from the ways of the children of the world and be separate in your behavior from the children of the world. You must be willing, like Moses was, to be put up with mockery, ridicule, telling him that he was mad, that he had made a foolish decision. It's no use saying God's way is not narrow. God's way is narrow, and it is steep, and there's no pretending that it's not. It's a true sign that you are saved, truly saved, when you have chosen like Moses chose. Do you prefer God's ways, or do you prefer the ways of the world? Are you clinging to the world and saying, I must have what the world offers. I want the world's riches. Is there any cross that you take up daily to follow him? Do you know anything of persecution and the afflictions of the gospel? Have you left Pharaoh's daughter and joined yourself to the people of God? Remember the saying, remember this saying, if there be no cross, there is no crown. If there's no cross that we are bearing, there will be no crown. Remember the scripture, Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Holiness is not giving up this pleasure or that pleasure. Holiness is not giving up one thing or another. It is about self. Giving up the central self. Giving up my will. Bringing my will into the captivity of Christ so that I as a Christian can say, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what the teaching is. It's much harder and more wholesome than the teaching of strictness. Leave this, do that, don't do that. I give up and I surrender all to Jesus Christ. I live for him. Moses was a man who gave everything, and he is our pattern. Let us be that kind of person. Let us give our all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.